Another note on the significance of verbalizing one's vidui. One of the things we know about the 10 nisim, the other nisim, the 10 significant nisim performed continuously in the Beis HaMikdash, one of the famous ones is Adnan Sufim Mishach Mirvachim. It says when the people came to the Beis HaMikdash, they would stand in a completely packed fashion. They couldn't breathe, they couldn't move. You know, they were totally pressed against one another, there wasn't an inch to budge. When it came time to bow down, when they heard the Shem Hashem, they would bow down fully on the ground, and they'd bow down all out, similar to what we do on Yom Kippur. At that point, Mishach and Mirvachim, everything would spread out. They're standing all tight, and all of a sudden they lay down before the bow, they're prostrating themselves on the floor, and there you go, you have tons of space. The question is, obviously, for that to happen, is a remarkable mace. And somehow we defy space, and we can bow down and have all that space all around us, no problem at all. Rashi goes so far as to say that there was an area of four amas around these persons. Not sure if that was four to each side or four total, but a huge amount of space here. A moment ago there was nothing. The question is, if there's such a mace happening, do we want to have everyone have, you know, space to move? What happened until then? The entire time during davening, during other times, they're jam-packed like sardines. They couldn't budge. All of a sudden, there's a nace now. There's going to be a nace. Not a big deal. There's going to be a nace anyway. So make the nace happen the whole time. Why do we have to have some experience of being crammed together? Now, Rashi in Yuma, in Chafal Fadei, says that the reason why they bowed down wasn't simply to have space. In truth, you want to come, you want to have the experience was packed. That's what being a Beis HaMikdash was all about. Together with Kali Yisrael, you were in it with everybody else. What happened was that the time they bowed down, when they heard the Shem Hashem, they were mitzvada. Rashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that a person goes down and he's going to say vidui. He's going to verbalize what he says, and he's going to be scared. What's going to happen to the guy next to you if you hear what I say? He'll be mortally embarrassed if he hears something, you know, something like that would happen. In order the person shouldn't be embarrassed, or perhaps he won't even say anything. There should come such a scenario with something that can happen. And for that to happen, for that reason alone, just so Yid can say vidui without anyone else hearing him, without any situation of embarrassment, because Baruch Hu creates an environment of having Da'at Amos around you to go ahead and do that, and do that properly, to come close to Hashem with the Vidui, just for that purpose alone. But without that in Necham, it'll be a situation of them coming together. Now, another side note, where was this point where they were bowing down and having this experience? It seems specifically the Shem Hashem was said many times in the Beis HaMikdash. It could be other times too, but I would imagine Rashi doesn't say this, but I imagine Rashi is referring specifically to the time on Yom Kippur. The kind of level three times we know during davening we say this. Kaidel was Mizrade on three Karbanis. He said, Chatasi, my family, Chatasi, myself, my family, the Kehanim, and then for all of Kal Yisrael. At that time, they would be saying Vidya as well. Anecdotally, there might be a point here that from Rashi, that the time we hear the Kain Gadol, which we hear the Chazan Shatz of the Kain Gadol's Avoida, might be of opportunity at the same time for Mizrade sort of to latch onto the Kain Gadol or the Chazan's repetition of the Kain Gadol's Vidya. Yeah, that happens at the moment as well. It might be a point from Rashi as well. And I saw also the Meiri speaks out specifically, the Kal Yisrael very clearly, it was nothing to do sort of thing to try to grasp the moment. So when the Kaidel was about, they would do so as well. But again, that was a point. You see the significance of Vidui from that point. Now, one other point of Vidui here is that we pass in the halacha, brought down Shulchan Aruch and Yom Kippur, that the form that one says Vidui on Yom Kippur, and really you should apply it the whole year as well, when one says Vidui for any Aveira, one has to be standing. Standing means fully standing, not leaning on anything. Leaning, the definition of leaning is generally that if you lean on something, the point where you'd be pulled out, you would fall. That in halacha, in many situations, has the status of being seated. One cannot say vidui sitting, one has to say standing. If you lean casually, you're not really leaning on anything. A little bit of a little bit of leaning, that would be okay. But if you're leaning to a point where you're significant leaning, that would be a problem. What's interesting about this is that the Rambam, in the first halacha, says that the source for vidui in Kol Terekula comes from karbanes. When a person brings a karban, he goes to the karban and he says vidui for the very he's doing, and then he goes ahead and brings the karban. The moment he says vidui, this halacha, he has to smicha. That means he's going to go ahead and lean on the animal. How does he lean? The halacha of smicha is, he puts yadav on it, kol kaychay, entire force, everything you've got. If you lean on this animal full force and you say vidui, that's the source for vidui. And here we go do the exact opposite. You know, you lean, you're in bad shape. You got to stand, no leaning at all. And the answer is, you have to say, for them to ask the kasha, if I believe you by sarachin. But the way to go here seems to be that the idea is when one comes to the start to say vidui, to apologize, you come in the way that you look contrite. You're coming along and showing how you're sorry, you have remorse. If you come into your boss and you apologize for messing up the company, you don't come in and sit down on the couch and make yourself comfortable and kick up your heels. You come in and you look like you're sorry. Right? So by karbanos, part of the protocol is, the tiva is to go ahead and show the karbanos representing what you're here. You're showing that your animalistic parts of you, they're parts of your tzitzis, your taivis, parts of you should be mishumah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You go ahead and part of the protocol is to go ahead and do that. The reason why I'm doing tzmichah is because it's part of the protocol. But outside of that, when I'm coming to say I'm sorry in the bubble by itself, I'm judging, how do I come to say I'm sorry? The correct way to do it is to stand there and show you can try. Don't make yourself too comfortable. If you stand there, you don't lean. That is the way to do it. Now, on a halachic side note, what happens to myself if one did lean? So different levels here. If one should be standing, obviously. If one did not stand, one was leaning, Mr. Bruce says, he brings from Prima Gadim, Tzarech Iyim, and Tzarech Lav Zarev L'Svadis. It is a question of halach if one has to go ahead and repeat Vidui. You see that Mr. Bruce, Prima Gadim, learning, this may actually be an impediment to one fulfilling one's wish of Vidui. Tzarech Iyim doesn't say, come out L'maisa, what one should do. It does seem, though, he only says it in a case where one was leaning. But what if one was actually sitting? So the implication of Mr. Bruce is if one was actually sitting in said Vidui, oh, not so whatsoever. And it's obviously talking about a person who has the ability to stand, even if it's Yom Kippur, it's hard, it's difficult, one can go ahead and stand. If one does not have that ability whatsoever, then it seems for a chayla certainly leaning, at least leaning, where one certainly could be yaisa, even if it's full-fledged leaning. And again, if he can, it wouldn't be sitting. If one can't at all, obviously he can't do more than he could. If one's a complete chayla and he can, then he can go ahead and sit. By the way, just last night someone told me over that he heard that Isaac Uzban, Rosh Hashanah, even tells, used to stand ramrod straight the entire Yom Kippur from beginning to end. And someone, even in his older years, someone asked him why he did that, and he said that in his younger years during the war, he was subject to interrogation by the Nazis, and he hadn't eaten in 2 days. And they made him stand in one position for basically a whole day straight. And years later, he said to himself, he said, in front of my robust of a dove, I hadn't eaten in 2 days. I was able to stand still because of the passion of Misa for an entire day straight. He says, I'm thankful that I was born for the last time of the Kamma for his entire life. He would make sure to stand the entire day.